This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Professionele mediese inligting wanneer dit by jou gesondheid kom. And with that, it's a warm welcome to Dr. Daniel Hope. Welcome to the show.
All right, morning, Antoine. Thanks so much for having me.
So today we're talking about, you know, the truth about sleep. Let's chat about something that every single one of us does or tries to do at least every night, and that's sleep. So, Dr. Hope, let's start at the beginning. What does good sleep actually look like?
Yeah, that's, I think it's a great question. And, you know, most people judge their sleep purely on kind of the amount of hours they get. And I think while quantity does matter, it's more about the quality. So good sleep basically means that a person cycles properly through the different stages of sleep, you know, namely kind of light sleep, deep sleep, and then REM sleep, which is where most of our dreaming happens. And each of those stages does kind of different jobs for the body and the brain. And adults generally need somewhere between, you know, 7 and 9 hours, though there is some kind of variation between adults. And, you know, good sleep also means falling asleep, you know, within 20 minutes of going to bed, not waking up frequently through the night, and feeling genuinely refreshed in the morning, you know, not dragging yourself up through the first 2 cups of coffee kind of in the morning. So I think the most important thing is, well, what I would emphasize is how you feel in the morning is often a better measure of sleep quality than the number of hours kind of on a person's fitness tracker.
Mm-hmm. So why does it matter so much? Because people often wear poor sleep as kind of a badge of honor. You know, I'll sleep when I'm dead, that kind of thing.
Mm. Yeah, so unfortunately that is a phrase, you know, that we hear quite often. And sleep is not passive downtime, right? The body is extraordinarily active during those hours of sleep. And the brain literally cleans itself during sleep, flushing out kind of toxic waste products, including those proteins that are associated with Alzheimer's. Another system is the immune system. It does a lot of critical repair work during sleep. The hormones also that regulate appetite, blood sugar, and stress also reset. During sleep, our cardiovascular risk also drops as our blood pressure falls. So consistently sleeping less than 6 hours a night is associated with a significantly higher risk of things like heart disease, type 2 diabetes, obesity, depression, and even dementia. There was a major study that found that people who regularly slept 6 hours or less in midlife had a 30% higher risk of developing dementia later on in life. So, you know, we've somehow developed a culture that celebrates being kind of busy and exhausted. But the science on this is, you know, unambiguous. Sleep deprivation is not just a lifestyle choice. It's also a health risk.
Okay, so what are the recognized medical conditions when it comes to sleep? What's actually out there?
Yeah, so look, there's several, and they're probably more common than people appreciate. I mean, the most obvious one that everyone knows about is insomnia, and that's essentially or simply put difficulties in falling asleep or, you know, staying asleep. And it affects roughly, you know, 1 in 3 adults at some point in their life and about 1 in 10, you know, chronically. Other than that, there's things like obstructive sleep apnea. We also call it OSA, which is very, very common with the kind of obesity crisis that we're having. And it's very underdiagnosed. And in this sleep apnea, you know, the upper airway partially collapses during sleep. And the problem is that causes these repeated kind of breaks or pauses in breathing, which can sometimes happen several hundred times in night. And so the person wakes up during the night and doesn't even know it. Typically, you know, the family will say they snore very heavily. And then they'll say, look, I feel unrefreshed and feel exhausted all day. I think with OSA, it's not just a sleep issue, but it's also a problem linked with blood pressure and heart disease and stroke. And then our other rarer kind of conditions are like restless leg syndrome, where a person has the urge to keep on moving their legs. But I think the important message is that there are these medical conditions, and it's not just a personal failing if a person struggles to sleep. And most of them respond pretty well to treatment.
And for the rest of us, you know, people who don't have a diagnosable condition but just sleep badly, what exactly works?
Yeah, I think the evidence base for kind of natural things is really solid. And the good news is probably most things that a person can do are, number one, simple, and number two, free. So first kind of point I would say is consistency. So if a patient just makes sure that they have a good routine, going to bed at the same time and waking up at the same time every night, this is really, really good. The second thing, well, maybe just going a bit more into that, is our body functions on a circadian rhythm, or an internal clock, which in many ways is hormonal and linked to hormonal cycles. And so irregular sleep or having caffeine, you know, to stay up late can really interrupt that system. Then secondly, light matters importantly. So bright light in the morning kind of anchors your body clock and promotes alertness. So avoiding bright screens or overhead lights kind of the hour before you go to bed tells your brain that it's kind of time to wind down. You know, thirdly, you can keep your room quite cool, dark, and make sure that it's reserved for sleep. So your brain needs to associate kind of that environment with sleep, not scrolling or on your phone. And I think on the subject of phones, the blue light that everyone, you know, talks about is actually less of an issue than people think. The real problem is the content that is stimulating and keeps, you know, our minds active, when it probably should be slowing down. And then the last thing to chat about is to avoid caffeine. We usually suggest the last kind of cup of coffee is early afternoon. And this is because most people don't realize it has quite a long half-life in the human body. So that means it lasts kind of in the body for about 6 hours. And then I guess the last point is, you know, if you can't sleep, a good thing to do is not to lie there kind of watching the clock. It's just to get up, do something quiet and unstimulating in the kind of dark light area, and then go back to bed once you feel sleepy again. That lying in bed and getting more and more anxious, you know, starts as a short-term thing, but can quickly develop into a chronic long-term problem.
Mm-hmm. The phones, really, they are a problem. I must admit, I've heard this before. People that, and I do it as well. When you get in bed, you check your phone, you check social media, etc., etc., and then before you know it, an hour and a half has passed that you could have been sleeping soundly. So people really need to get into the habit of just putting down the phone and just closing their eyes and having a good night's rest. So
definitely
fascinating, you know. Some of these things that will make me rethink my evenings. But Dr. Hope, thank you so much for your time today. Have a great day. We'll chat again next Monday.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.